Welcome in to week 7. Yeah, week 7, upcoming 8 episode of the League of Ordinary Gentlemen. Thanks for joining us. As always, our normal co-hosts, Doug Appleby, Sean Guida, and Zeke Lawless, all members of the League of Ordinary Gentlemen and fantasy football. Sure, let's call ourselves experts. Welcome, guys.
Why not? What up, Doe?
I'm not a businessman.
I'm a business man.
I always said that once, but it's just my favorite quote right now.
I don't remember you saying that before.
In that case, that's the first time.
Doug, hey, any welcomes for you, Doug? No, just like a – maybe like a hello?
I let my factoids do the talking.
Factoids.
Oh, God. Jeez Louise. My name is Doug, and I'm here only to give great analysis and things that I've learned on my websites.
Hashtag analysis. Zeke, what's the best thing you've seen all week?
I will spare everyone the maybe 1 to 2 people trying to look at it on the video, and we'll have the show's Twitter handle tweeted out. But it's this dude from Paris who is a great break dancer, is dancing to Michael Jackson, and he is just fantastic. And homeboy gets about an inch off the ground and drops and lifts himself only using his legs. It's incredible. If one of us tried that, there would be a strain, a soft muscle issue, something like that. So better just check that out. We'll tweet it out for you.
Are you saying there would be a non-contact injury, Zeke?
Yes.
Absolutely. A Dalvin Cook-like situation.
Sean, anything you've seen all week this week?
Yeah, I'll let you go look it up if you want, but I think the best thing I saw all week was the Giants game. When they were warming up, Odell Beckham went and presented himself to Randy Moss a la Moss in Lambeau back in the early 2000s and mooned him. And it was great to see Randy Moss's reaction. Just thought it was absolutely hysterical. And so if you haven't seen that, it's great. He literally runs over and fake moons him. It's awesome.
Fantastic. I did recently.
Speaking of Monday Night Football, the best thing I've seen all week was my mute button when the commentator started talking for Monday Night Football. So I could just no Booger McFarlane, no Jason Witten, just mute button, enjoy the game in silence. Yeah.
You can actually Kurt Warner does a broadcast I heard on the interwebs that you can go listen to, and it lines up pretty well. You could just literally turn on your radio and get a better broadcast than have to listen to those guys. One of the best things I saw all week, somebody put on Twitter.
Hold on, wait. Maybe that's something we can do to start making some money here. Like, we can have our own Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football. Yeah,
all of us watching the game. Podcasting. Being like, holy crap.
Look what that guy did. What a rabbit. No second-gen stats.
We have combined for 0 career snaps of football, I believe. And I'm pretty sure better analysis than Booger.
Does Pee Wee count? Does Pee Wee flag football count?
Flag football? No, that doesn't count.
It's got to be at least high school tackle football or better.
Hey, I have played high school football.
For how long? I'm not getting into that.
High school.
High school football? High school.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was really crappy.
Best thing I saw all week was some guy yelling at the Booger Mobile because it was in the way of an OBJ touchdown.
Can we talk about that?
There's nothing to talk about. ESPN said they're not changing.
If you went and bought tickets like 6 rows up and you literally couldn't see your team score touchdowns, kick. Somebody said they missed the game, Mason Crosby game-winning field goal a couple weeks ago. It was blocked.
Hey, guys, can I tell y'all a dirty secret? The game is not for the people in the stands. Mm-hmm. It is a television product.
Yeah.
100%.
Like, imagine in 2018 wanting to go to every live football game. It just sounds like a disaster to me.
Correct.
Yeah, it's not. But the Booger Mobile is a disaster.
I'd go.
I'd definitely go, but I just wouldn't buy 6th row tickets to get blocked by the Booger Mobile.
That's not crazy.
My new guidelines for attending games are either has to be for a national championship, a Super Bowl, or I have to have a suite. Otherwise, I'm staying out.
No.
I'm dead serious.
Tim, do you know what those 3 fingers for? They're for 1 word each. You know what they are?
Spoiled.
No,
it's, can't hide money, most likely.
Can't hide money. I only go to national championships or games where Beyonce will be in attendance.
That's the facts.
No, she's probably gonna not do the halftime. Who said someone's not doing the halftime show because they're standing strong? I'm not okay. I'm not getting into political talk. Okay, so let's get right into it. Eagles and Jaguars. This is a good game to cover in London. We're going the same way we did last week. We're going to just go by the order I see them. We're going to go Doug, Sean, Zeke. Let's get your breakdown. Doug, what you got?
For me, I'm going to go with the Jaguars in this one. I think both teams have their backs against the wall. I think the Jacksonville defense has still been playing really well. They've been giving up some points, but it's only because Blake Bortles has been turning it over on their end of the field. In his career playing in games in London, he has 8 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, I think. I think benching him last week will be kind of light a fire under his butt, and we're going to see them control this game on the ground and get a win.
All right. I like it. Sean, what you got?
Wow. I almost was talked into that. My kind of actually jump would be that Jacksonville's basically playing a home game when they're in London, which is where they are, because they have crazy amounts of fans because they've played every single year in London for the last, I think, 5 years or some four or five seasons. But I got to go with the Eagles here. I just think that the Jaguars are in total disarray. They're going to be starting Carlos Hyde as the running back, which he's awesome, and I'm a fan of him, but it'll be new in the system. And they're going to give him a lot of yards or a lot of handles. A lot of touches. And I heard Cody Kessler may be starting. Have y'all heard that?
No,
Blake Bortles is starting. They've already named it.
I must have missed that tonight because they were talking about it earlier today before I had my softball game. But he did get benched for Cody Kessler, so that's all I'm saying. I think you can't win in this league without a quarterback. Give me Eagles.
Yeah. Zeke, what you got?
As much as I want to say I'm with Doug on this one, which I typically do, I'm not with Doug on this one, even though, you know, everything that we've covered, I basically think that Jacksonville is in a tailspin. I don't think they get out of it this week. I was almost right, and which almost, you know, doesn't count as famously sung about. But I was almost right last week with my Philadelphia pick. I do think Philadelphia is a good team. They're getting some stuff right now, and I think they have what it takes to beat Jacksonville. I don't think there's much there, even with which we can talk about it in Brown's Corner. Even with Carlos Hyde being traded, you know, I just don't think there's enough there. I don't think Bortles, the great equalizer, can do enough to help them out. I do like Philadelphia -3 in this game.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with Sean and Zeke on this one. Usually, again, I'll take Doug usually on these, but the Jaguars have scored just 4 out of its last 35 possessions over the past 3 weeks, which over that span they've been outscored 90-28. Also, they have Blake Bortles at quarterback. They don't have a running back, and the Eagles are becoming a fairly good defense. So I don't think that they're going to be able to run the ball effectively. I do, however, like the pass catchers for Philadelphia. I don't think that they're going to run the ball very, very well either because they're not a good offense to run the ball with. In fact, I would sit all of my Eagles running backs this week. But Zach Ertz and Alshon Jeffrey are right now about as stable as they come. And so I think the Eagles go into London and take this one. And just if Jacksonville wasn't fighting itself in the locker room, maybe I would go with Jacksonville because usually I'm a defense guy. I think defense wins a lot of things. But good gracious, I think the Jaguars are in a lot of trouble. So moving on, we'll do the Seahawks and the Lions.
Yeah, actually jump. I just want to jump in and say something. I saw a stat today, and I'm not down to the percentage here, but something like the Jacksonville Jaguars score on 27.1% of their drives. They have turnovers on 21.8% of their drives. So they're giving the ball up almost as much as they're scoring.
So that's good. I'm just kidding. So moving on, Seahawks at Lions. Doug, what have you got in this breakdown?
I'll take the home team here and go with the Lions. They just acquired Snacks Harrison, which, by the way,
one big, of the best, big,
one of the best nicknames in
great
sports.
Name.
Snacks is one of the best defensive run stoppers in football. The Seahawks, the only way they've been able to win games is commit to the run, and I think he's going to be a big boost to their defense. I'll take Detroit here.
I like it. Sean, what
have
you
got? I'll be quick and short because I literally agree with every single thing Doug said. Give me Lions.
Z?
I know we just said that we were experts here, but as much of experts as we are, which Doug is clearly the expert, and I'm just riding those coattails as much as I can.
I'm winning. I'm winning in the picks.
You are.
I have no feel for either team. I fully admit I haven't watched much of either team, but looking at their stats, looking at box scores, I don't know much anything about these teams. If I had to throw a dart on the wall, you know, that'd be about my best way to guess this game. I will take Detroit only because they seem to be getting kind of hot. Maybe they are signing up and buying into Matt Patricia. So I'll take Detroit, but I have no confidence. I wouldn't put any money on that myself.
Matt Patricia is making a difference.
Yeah, no, I'm with Detroit on this one too. Going with the home team, mainly because I think both these teams are heating up. But with the addition of Snacks Harrison, who is going to help stop the running back by committee they have with Chris Carson Mike Davis and Rashad Penny. Rashad Penny is actually out touching Mike Davis, at least he did last week. But if Detroit is doing it, this is a big reason why I think they are winning right now is they're doing it with the running game. Kerryon Johnson got 21 touches last week, but had 180 yards from scrimmage. Didn't even get into the end zone last week. Had a big game. And if they continue to hand him the ball, Matthew Stafford in the last 5 years has been in the top four of passing attempts. He is not even close to being on pace into the even top 10. So I feel like they've got farther they can go on offense. Because they're just not throwing the ball because their running game has been really efficient, especially when they hand Kerryon Johnson the ball. I don't know why they give LeGarrette Blount the ball at all. But with the partnership also of Kenny Galladay and Golden Tate, I don't think that Seattle is going to be able to keep up on this one. So I'm taking Detroit all the way.
In order to quote one of my favorite bands of all time, Jump Little Children, the days of Kerryon Johnson having his his touches given away, all those days are gone. All those days are gone. Kerryon Johnson put like 107 up last week.
Oh, he looked so good doing it. He had the third fastest run of 70 yards or more or 20 yards or more on the season with 70 plus. Moving on, Ravens at Panthers. This I think this can be a pretty fun game. Doug, what you got?
I'm going to go with the Ravens here in this one, even on the road. They're favored by a point and a half. But literally everything that Carolina relies on, which is running the ball with their quarterback, getting the ball to McCaffrey on short throws, taking some deep shots on the perimeter, all of that Baltimore defends really well. So I'm going to take them here in this game.
Yeah. Good. Nice pick. Sean?
Yeah, give me Carolina, but a late win because Baltimore's going to have a big injury on their defensive outside. Something's going to happen. One of these cornerbacks is going to go down, and that's going to be the game changer. So,
listen, you got a crazy one there. You got bailed out on the Panthers last week.
Yeah, you did.
Yes, you did.
I'm sorry. Hold on, wait. Does that mean that I was right or I was wrong?
Probably wrong, but
what? You're not ever going to get Doug admit is wrong. I don't know why you continue to fight this.
I had made an awesome call, and it happened, and that was how it happened.
If you want to hear the epitome of a Doug argument, get him and Dano in the same room.
Oh my God!
And just put Dak Prescott on a piece of paper, and they'll argue for days.
For those of you who don't know and are just listening to the podcast, we used to play FIFA. We haven't in a while, but we used to play FIFA together, and it was me and Doug and Tim and these two twin brothers. And to hear Dano
and
Doug, yeah, but to hear Dano and Doug disagree about who was supposed to be where and when and who played it wrong, and then anything. Hear them just yell louder and louder into the microphone. I know that getting Doug to say, "Wow, Sean, great call," is going to be a pipe dream, but I'm going to take that W all the way. I'm good. So we're good.
So anyhow, Sean, like you're taking the Panthers here. Is that what you said?
Give me the Panthers.
Zeke, what have you got? A late win.
So Sean is predicting an injury for the old Browns. Is this like a Tonya Harding situation? Like is he sending somebody out with a billy club onto the field? I can't figure that one out. No.
I just shunned you, Zeke. That was a shun. That's an unshun to tell you that you shunned, and that's a shun.
I like the Ravens. I have liked the Ravens all season. I know Sean doesn't like that at all. I can see like the blood boiling in him. But hey,
I'm fine.
Well, the Ravens just seem like a pretty darn complete team. I don't like their run game. I mean, they do seem to struggle with the run game. They don't necessarily have a feature back or one that can really produce. But the passing game is strong. The defense looks really good. I know they're 4-2, but I think some of their wins are bogus. I like the Panthers. I pull for the Panthers, but I'm not buying into the Panthers just yet. I do, unfortunately, need to see some more from them, some more convincing wins, if you will, before I can really buy into them. So I like the Ravens here as just a more complete team.
Yeah, I'm going the Ravens here as well. And a big part of it is Cam Newton. He's completed 34.2% of his deep passes, which is 15 yards or farther downfield, which is one of the lowest rates for a full season. Newton has a 115.2 quarterback rating from a clean pocket, but he's not going to get a clean pocket. And he's only 41.5% rating when under pressure, which is one of the largest discrepancies in the league. Baltimore knows how to pressure a quarterback, and they're going to get pressure on the quarterback. I think this comes down to a defensive matchup, and I think I told you guys earlier, most of the time I will pick a defense to win a game. Especially in this situation, I think they've got they're going to be able to cover guys like Devin Funchess. Christian McCaffrey might get loose a time or two, but I'm going with Baltimore in this one in the end. So next up, we're going to go Packers at Rams. Doug, break it down.
I'm going to take the Rams because they're probably the best team in football.
Hashtag analysis.
Yeah, I'm with that. I mean, I'm not going to pick against the Rams or the Chiefs until they show me a reason to. The Rams are the most complete team in football. They score at will. I know they played a bad San Francisco team, but if you saw any of that game, it wasn't close. It never was close. San Francisco came on the field, and they knew they weren't going to win. I'll take Los Angeles here on out until they play in the Super Bowl.
Oof. Yeah, until we see otherwise, there's just not even all that much to say about it unless they're playing a really competitive game, you know.
I'm really looking forward to the Rams playing the Saints, I think, in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
That'd be
Zeke,
great.
Who do you have here?
Yeah, I said it last week, and I know everybody's repeating the same sentiment. Rams until further notice, especially against the Packers. You know, I don't think the Packers are all that great. I'm happy that it seems Rodgers isn't as hurt as we thought he may have been. You know, earlier in the season, it does seem like he's actually okay. But the Packers don't have nearly enough to take on the Rams and actually beat them. Now, you know, stranger things, right? All else equal, you got to take the Rams here 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, of course. I'm taking the Rams in this one as well. There's not a lot of great games on the slate this week. But I'm going Rams, and it's because of a guy named Todd Gurley, who by himself has more touchdowns than a complete football team in the San Francisco 49ers, which is fairly impressive. They also have the most drives to end inside the red zone, which means they're scoring points whether they get the end zone or not. They're just scoring a ton of points. I think Aaron Rodgers plays very well this week. I think that the Rams have a defense that is getting beat in the past by good teams. And I've heard that Randall Cobb and Geronimo Allison may be back this week, and I think that gives Aaron Rodgers a bit of a bump. But it rams all the way in this one for, you know, till the end of time.
I got a question. Is it more impressive? Is that more impressive for Gurley, or is that more impressive in a bad way?
Oh,
for
all about the offensive line, though. I mean, he's getting amazing push on the offensive line.
What I'm saying is it more impressive? Is it more impressive that he's scored more touchdowns than the 49ers as a him player, or as the 49ers just being that terrible?
Well, he scored 14, so I don't even know.
Little column A, little column B.
Yeah. So getting on to the next game.
Conversation here,
I think this is probably one of my favorite games of the week. The Saints at the Vikings. This one is pretty much a pick 'em with Minnesota getting a point. I think that's how I read that. Doug, break it down.
I'm going to take the Saints in this game. To be honest with you, I haven't had a chance to even really look at this game all that much yet. But that's who I have going to the Super Bowl. I'm going to stick with them this week.
Easy enough, Sean.
Yeah, I would, in any other circumstance, take the Vikings. But the Saints are also going to be in a dome, and I think that's when Breeze goes ham because the noise doesn't bother him. He's used to it. Give me the Saints.
As much as I hate to pick the Saints, I do like the Saints here. Lest we forget, this is a revenge game for the Minnesota Miracle in last year's playoffs. So the Saints have been thinking about this game, you know, since they saw it on the schedule. They haven't forgotten about last January. They saw it everywhere. They heard all about it, and they were just one play short of basically moving on to potentially play for the Super Bowl. So they're thinking about this game. I hate the Saints. I don't like picking the Saints. I do like the Vikings, and I think the Vikings are a really good team, but I do feel like this game is more than likely going to get into a shootout. And as competent as Kirk Cousins is and as effective as the Vikings offense can be, the Saints just have too much firepower, and they'll win in a shootout should it get that way.
It is worth noting Everson Griffin is back this week, and that was when their defense really started tanking, was when he went out. So there will be something to be said for that. I'm interested to see what that does for the game.
Yep. I like the Saints in this one too. I think that their defense is starting to play a little bit better. Marshawn Lattimore is going to shut down Stephon Diggs in this game, I feel like. Not to say they wouldn't play him, because I think he's going to shadow Adam Thielen when he actually does run his 27% on the perimeter. But I don't think anybody has enough firepower to slow down this offense. That's why I'm so looking forward to the Rams at Saints in a couple of weeks. So I'm going Saints in this game as well. Give me Drew Brees on a huge day in Minnesota. So last but not least, the last game we're going to deep dive into before we just get to straight picks. As you guys all know, the ones that have listened a couple of times, or even if you don't listen the first time, we are Browns fans on this broadcast, so we deep dive into the Cleveland Browns every single week. So the next game up is Cleveland at Pittsburgh. And as always, Doug, rip out our hearts.
You know, I would like to hear some other opinions on this one before I go.
Oh, let me go to Zeke. Because Sean's already wearing the necklace.
Well, first off, we need to clarify. Are we talking about, when you say we are Browns fans, are you talking about the royal we?
So No. So we've got, I mean, we've got four real Browns fans in a 10-person league. I'm working on Doug, and he just denounced the Cowboys for giving up a first-round pick for Amari Cooper, as everybody else should. So he is now I'm getting him on the Browns bandwagon. So I'm calling it that we now have five Browns fans. Doug, don't rip my heart out just yet. We have five Browns fans in the league.
Zeke has actually told me, and you can deny if you want, but Zeke has told me he roots for the Browns, albeit for my sake, that he does pull for the Browns.
Oh, for sure. Okay,
so you can't count me yet, but I am in search of a team. So
there we go. All we need is the search. I can't say that you're gonna love it. I can't say that you're gonna love being a fan of the Browns. Because personally, I don't know that I love being a fan of the Browns, but I am.
I've made a presentation for this, Zeke.
Really? Yeah, Sean is prepared.
A 27-minute presentation. That is correct.
It gets longer and longer every single day.
All right. So
we'll hang out on this afterwards. So, and Doug, you can see the presentation. But Zeke, what have you got on this game?
Yeah. So for this game, Pittsburgh, you know, Pittsburgh has figured themselves out even without Le'Veon Bell. You know, the team is doing just fine. I think the Cleveland Browns tailspin began in earnest last week. Now you've got the Todd Haley, the Hugh Jackson murmurings, you know, backbiting, that type of thing. And a team that didn't have a strong foundation to begin with, that was coming in a lot of hype, a lot of excitement, you know, Hard Knocks, et cetera, et cetera. That's kind of what carried them early on. And let's face it, how exciting would it be if the Browns, who own Overtime and 425 Red Zone Channel, they're almost 1-1-4. I mean, they are just so close to being having. I mean, think about how many ties.
1-1-4.
How many years have we gone between ties, and they almost have four ties? Again, I think long term the Browns are okay, but this year, definitely, you know, a house of cards type situation. I think the tailspin has begun in earnest. And before we get to old man Gatta, who heads up Brown's Corner and runs Brown's Corner Mart, he sits behind that bulletproof glass, his hat, you know, he's got the shaggy beard, got the cigarette hanging out of his mouth, telling all the kids about the Browns. Before we get to him, like I said, just to sum it all up, Browns tailspin, not a dumpster fire just yet, but let's get to about week 13 before the dumpster fire gets set ablaze. Pittsburgh wins this one.
Okay. Thanks for that, Zeke. Doug, you have thoughts before Sean gets his thoughts in there?
Sure. So amazingly, the Browns are facing the second most rush attempts in the NFL. They are also facing the third most pass attempts in the NFL. So what that tells me is...
That's a lot of plays, Doug.
That's a lot of plays for their opponents. Even if you take the overtime games out of that equation, you take all overtime games out, they're like fifth, I think, in opponents' plays allowed. Baker Mayfield has taken more sacks than anybody else in the league since he's come in. The Pittsburgh defensive line is fourth in the NFL in adjusted sack rate. The one thing that the Pittsburgh defense does allow is some passes across the middle of the field, but Baker has shown no rapport with Landry whatsoever. It's basically just like, you know, flip a coin and see if it hits when he throws a pass to Landry. And you can give me that look, but he targeted him like, what, 15 times last week, and he had 8 catches. I mean, he has a 50% catch rate on the year. I think things are kind of starting to fall apart for the Browns. You've got Pittsburgh third in the NFL in red zone efficiency. That's scoring touchdowns in the red zone. The Browns are 20th in the NFL in red zone defensive efficiency. Literally everything about this matchup screams Pittsburgh, and that's why they're an 8-point favorite. I will take the Steelers.
Sean?
What?
Are you going to give your thought on this?
Listen, where do you pick to go? I don't pick against my team. I think that, Zeke, you're wrong. I think that you actually are saying the other thing. I think we've come back to earth and are now starting to figure out exactly what they need to do, because one of the main issues that you're seeing with the Browns' offense is that Haley's been calling plays that have not been effective to Baker or the wide receivers' actual strengths, which is as long as you're going to have long deep routes, long developing plays, then it's not going to be good for the Browns. And that is what happened the first half of the Tampa Bay game, which is why they looked absolutely horrific. That's when 4 of the 5 sacks happened. That's when a lot of missed targets happened. You're asking Baker to take 5 to 7 steps straight back, long developing, no underneath cross patterns. You've taken away Landry's main bread and butter, which is to get separation over in the middle. And that changed at the second half of the Tampa Bay game. It was like suddenly Haley went, oh, okay, this kid is good at getting the ball out quickly. And when he does, in fact, I saw something about when his he releases the ball in under 2.5 seconds, his pass rating is 129.7 as opposed to 79.4 when it takes longer than 2.5 seconds. He's averaging 2.62 seconds to get the ball out. And that's with a lot of those long plays that I think you're going to see removed. Also, the big thing, Nick Chubb and Duke Johnson, now that they have 1 week of figuring out what it looks like without Carlos Hyde, Nick Chubb is turning into a steamroller. He's a guy who it takes a little while, but when he breaks, and he's got home run potential all day long. And when they need a big, tough play, Duke Johnson is there to take it. I also think one of the things that's been hurting the Browns is drops. We're seeing less of those. Guys are making better plays on the ball. And although Higgins won't be in this week, I wish he was. I think that it's going to be another tight game. I'm taking my Browns, and I'm going to take them 24-20. Give me the Brownies.
Okay. So.
And, Doug, I've got a jersey for you when you're ready to become a Browns fan.
A couple of things.
I don't know about that.
A couple of things that I'm going to kind of elaborate on, I think that Doug was getting to. A couple of things that make me nervous. The Browns defense has taken – well, they have taken a big step forward. They've been on the field a lot. Evan Silva tweeted this earlier either today or yesterday. They've gone to OT in four games and played more snaps than any other NFL defense by 34. Now they visit the Steelers, who are playing a season-high 95 snaps, including penalties, in week seven. And their Pittsburgh's office also coming off a bye.
Does that include the OT, those defensive snaps?
Yes. No. The Saints – oh, no, that was just – the Steelers were in week seven, played a season-high 95 snaps with penalties.
No, the Browns then, 34 – the Browns 34
yeah,
snaps.
Yeah. But it doesn't – I mean, they're still playing. The Browns have played an almost entire game more than any other team in the NFL right now, and they haven't had a bye week. Larry Ironman Ogunjobi has played almost 100 more snaps than any other defensive tackle in the league. He makes his money at stopping the run, but dude needs a bye week. A couple of the things that makes me nervous. I do like Nick Chubb a lot. The problem is, what I'm nervous about is the Steelers are allowing 87.3 yards from scrimmage per game to opposing backfield, which is the fewest in the league. The Browns are not throwing the ball to Duke Johnson right now. Denzel Ward has been shut down good. The problem is, even if you were able to shut down a guy like Antonio Brown minimally, Juju Smith-Schuster roasts the Browns. Pushed 119 yards in a game when these teams played earlier, and over the past 2 weeks, receiver playing away from Ward has posted a top 15 scoring week. So while Denzel Ward has been shut down, the guy playing opposite of Denzel Ward has not been doing a very good job. I think that the Steelers are peaking and they're becoming a very, very good football team. The Browns, I think, are getting better. I don't think they're there yet to compete with the Steelers, a team that the Browns have not beat in Pittsburgh since 2003. So as much as I love the Browns, and as much as I want them to beat the Steelers, and I'm going to a friend's house to actually see the Steelers game this week, I just don't see it happening. So that doesn't make any sense, Sean. And for those of you who don't know, Sean is holding up a sign that says a rapist, allegedly, Browns 0, Steelers 1. So they went in that category too.
Totally agree.
Yeah. So with that being said, I'm going with the same thing that I've always done, which I'm going to pick against my team in hopes that I'm wrong. But unfortunately, I think the Steelers win this one, and I don't think I'm going to enjoy it at all, one bit. So anyhow, I know that a few guys have to hop off, so we're going to get through the picks real quick, the rest of the picks real quick. So let's go first off Thursday night, Dolphins, Texans. Doug, who you got?
I am going to take the Texans in this one, and I actually am going to have to bow out anyways now. So you boys enjoy.
Send me your picks so that we can
send you our picks.
Yeah. Sean, who do you got? Dolphins, Texans. Are you still on mute, Sean? Dolphins, Texans.
Did you mute your Yeti?
I was on mute. Yeah.
There we go.
I was trying not to let you guys hear me writing on the board. Give me Texans easy.
Yep. Zeke?
I'm taking Dolphins here.
Oof. Brock Osweiler. No. And then
he's is the Heist still playing?
Yeah, the Heist is still playing, okay. And he's down to Albert Wilson and Kenny Stills.
Yep, no, I redact that. Texans.
I think everybody's going Texans. Eagles, Jags, we already did. Jets at Bears. I think this is an easy pick. Sean.
Yeah, give me the Jets. I'm just kidding. I'll take the Bears. Trubisky's taking care of business. Khalil Mack is back.
Yep, Bears at home.
Yep, Bears all the way. Buccaneers at Bengals. Sean.
That's a Bengals. They are ticked after getting absolutely wrecked by the Chiefs. And it's at home. And Tampa Bay played out of their minds and got lucky with a 59-yard field goal and a couple extra penalties. Give me the Bengals.
Zeke?
I'd love to pick against it just to mix it all up, but I'm going with that one. Bengals minus five. Yep.
Gosh, I want to go Bengals. I just don't think Andy Dalton's very good. And I think he shows it more this week. But I'm going to go with the Bengals just so I don't lose a spot and I pick them. Seahawks at Lions, we already did. Broncos at Chiefs. This is easy. Sean?
Chiefs.
Yeah. Zeke?
Chiefs.
Tim's picking the Chiefs as well. Redskins at Giants. Sean?
Redskins.
Zeke?
Yeah, I got Redskins.
Yeah, I think everybody's got the Redskins. Colts at Raiders. Another easy one.
Colts.
What are you doing?
I'm not going to read that dumb sign. I can't even read it. Baker.
I'll make it better so you can read it.
Yeah, hey, thank you.
Colts at Raiders, Zeke.
Yeah, I got the Colts on this one.
Yeah, I'm going Colts as well. The Raiders are awful and they're trading everybody. 49ers and Cardinals. This one should be fun.
They're not done trading either. They got three more trades they're going to make in the next week.
I don't doubt it. 49ers or Cardinals, Sean? Who you got?
You know, I really struggled with this one, honestly, because they're both so terrible. Give me the Cardinals, though, I guess.
No. Zeke?
Tim peer pressured me with his comment. I was going to take Cardinals. I don't know who to take. It's a crap game either way.
Hey, Cardinals fired their OC. And now Byron Leftwich is calling plays for him.
Awesome.
Wait, you Zeke, said
who you got?
Hold on,
Byron Leftwich didn't even.
You said Byron Leftwich is calling plays, Byron and that's what inspired Leftwich. You to.
That's what's inspired
to
his pick
the team who has Byron Leftwich calling plays to win. No, 49ers.
Yeah, 49ers actually have a. They've got a pretty good offense these days. Beathard isn't half bad, and. I kind of like Mostert. So I'm going to go for 49ers. Patriots and Bills. This should be easy as well. John?
Oh, Lord.
Give me the Bills. Never is what I said. Patriots.
Yeah.
And Gordon's going to get two touchdowns and break my heart.
Zeke.
All right. I'm trying to mix this up.
No, you're not.
But I can't. And here's the reason why. It's because I've told y'all before, if it's a plus 14 or more home dog, you take the home team. However,
I'm not picking points though.
But that also dictates the winner. That also dictates the winner outright more often than not. But that being said, it's the Bills number one, and number two, it's TFB who's just getting going. So, of course, you take the Patriots.
TFB and
Gene White.
It is an
14 points.
Ugly spread. There's no way on God's green earth I'm taking Derek Anderson to win this game and his band of misfits. Give me all the Patriots. So,
bonus pick, LeSean McCoy is his last game as a Bill.
Oh, okay. Who's your lock of the week, Zeke?
Oh, Lord. I would say the Patriots. I mean, that's just easy enough.
Yeah, let's just take the easy one. Sean, who's your lock of the week? And don't pick a team like that.
I thought a lock was supposed to be the.
Yeah, but you got to call one that's like nobody else is going to call you. Come on. Sean, who's your lock of the week?
Well, I'm going to be different than Zeke, and I'm going to make a call that I will stand by. And even if they lose, which I don't think they will, I'm going to say that I at least had the loins to pick somebody different.
Yeah.
Of course.
I think Cleveland was your lock of the week last week, too.
Give them to me.
That's not a lock.
No. My lock of the week.
Oh, I'm sorry. How about I pick the Rams versus a middle school team from Greenville? Let's do that. Yeah. Okay.
That would be
my lock of the week.
Hold on. No. I'm going to do this right since it doesn't make Zeke happy. Let's see. Let me find the biggest spread, and I'll pick that one.
That's not Chiefs. How we're doing this.
The Chiefs are the lock of the week.
Yeah, that's obvious.
That's a good one, too.
Always, I'm taking the hardest game, and I'm going to put this out there. I've never missed on a lock of the week. 49ers are my lock of the week this week. That's who's going to – if you put your money on the 49ers, they're going to win it for you.
They're going to lose.
No, they're not. Anyhow, so that was – who's your start of the week this week? Who's your fantasy guy, not necessarily on your team, that you got to start? Zeke.
Go with Sean first.
Sean, who's your start of the week?
Josh Gordon.
Of course, you pick a guy from your own fantasy.
I was about to say, of course. Yeah. I would say Andrew Luck.
Timeout. This is the first time I picked somebody from my team for the lock of the week. Mm-hmm. And we just said Patriots are going to destroy. No. We just said the Patriots are going to destroy the Bills. So I picked somebody from a team that's going to score 60, and I'm getting shit about it.
This is Around the Horn.
This is a family show.
Tim is Tony Reale. Start muting people. No.
Right? Yeah. I'm going lock of the week. I'm going off the charts. Or not my lock of the week. Start of the week. I'm going off the charts. Nobody's seen this one coming. Raheem Mostert is my start of the week, Mostert. He goes for over 100 yards, touchdown, start of the week. If he's on your team, put him on there.
Get out your Google machine, folks.
Get it out.
Find out who that Mostert is.
I'm telling you, he's my start of the week this week. Sean is looking on the waiver wire to pick him up right now.
I don't need Raheem Mostert.
He gonna be good this week.
Is that what you want? Do you want somebody kind of out there? Is that what you want?
Yes, that's the whole point of the lock of the week and the start of the week. Come on, you gotta pick something not everybody knows.
I'm sorry, I picked a good lock of the week. I did not go the easiest game there was.
Yeah. My start of the week is Tom Brady.
I genuinely think that Josh Gordon is a smart lock of the week because I haven't started him in 3 weeks and he's been coming back slowly and slowly. But if you want a real lock of the week, give me Matt Stafford with the Lions to throw 4 touchdowns on the Seattle defense.
Ooh, I like that one. Now there's a lock of the week. Zeke, we're teaching him something.
I know.
Seriously, him holding up signs like this.
I picked Andrew Luck.
Nobody.
I picked Andrew Luck.
I tried picking Andrew Luck, but I couldn't because you were going on about God knows what. That's why I wanted Tim to mute you.
All right.
Oh, wow. Now we're just saying things that have no basis in fact. We're just being
correct.
Mean
to each other. Yes.
Just being straight mean to each other.
Yeah.
So let's get into – so that's our picks, that's our locks, that's our starts. That's the information we're giving on the NFL and any kind of fantasy information you're looking forward to. Next, we're going to get into our own fantasy league, as we always do, and we're going to do a quick recap and then go with a preview of what we've got this week as Sean continues to hold up signs. So I'm going to go straight from there was not a whole lot of good games this week. So
real quick, guys, it's going to be, remember, it's going to be the Gotta Boys talking about fantasy because I got to drop.
Oh, yeah, off. Zeke. Well, no, real quick, Zeke, I got to ask. We got to do one thing before you leave. You got to wait and listen to Sean's Browns referee doom boom.
Good. Just drag me through it. Drag me through.
Real quick. Give us your Browns got screwed segment.
I don't appreciate being patronized like this.
We're coming here for a segment.
Because I got news for you. If you follow my Twitter, because Zeke and Doug think it's hilarious to operate.
Hold on. Totally Zeke, I need a Sean Gatta Twitter plug.
At Sean Gatta, at Doug Appleby. So I used to think that the that Sean yelling at the TV via Twitter was the best. But now seeing the Doug interjection, just like our fine listeners get to hear on the podcast, you get to read it as if, you know, just the oral transcripts of it. It is fantastic. And this week proved to be no different. Now, I have to be, you know, full disclosure, I was not watching that game, did not have the opportunity to watch that game. So I am wanting to trust Sean here that the Browns actually did get screwed. But the problem is when you cry wolf so many times, I can't believe you every time. And then the last thing, and Sean, I will let you run with it from here. Sean, do you why would the NFL and why would the refs single out the Browns week after week to pick on?
I don't think that it's them singling out. I think it's just the fact that we've been given crappy crews in the same way that, like, for coverage, you don't, you know, we get, what's his name? Didi Spiro and all those guys, like dudes, Adam Archuleta, like guys who are trying to make their way in. For the same reason, we're not on any primetime games because we're getting these guys like Ed Hockley's son, who's in his first year as being a referee. Like, we're getting his crew. We're getting these absolute morons who come in and they're doing everything they can to deal with new rules. And honestly, I think that's another thing. I think there's something to be said for the fact there's so many new rules and there's so many changes every single week. Like, I'd have a hard time keeping up with it. You almost can't blame them. But I would like to point this out. I don't care how much I get argued with Doug. I actually retweeted, I think it was three or four different national syndicated broadcast people who said the Browns are getting screwed week in and week out. So it's not crying wolf if there's a wolf there.
Tim.
Yeah, I'm actually this one. I'm looking for a video, like it's a quick sound insert that I can show off. So, in actuality, the NFL did come out and say, "Oh, the hit on Baker Mayfield was illegal and it should have been called." And they're 100% correct. It totally should have been called. But the fact that they came out, the referee came out and actually onto the field and said, because he was a runner, he is allowed to get hit in the head, just shows that the referees in that game had no freaking clue what they were doing.
Again, tell me how many times that happens to Tom Brady and they come out and go, well, Tom Brady was running, he's allowed to get hit in the head.
Yeah, and well, it doesn't happen to anybody. Zero. So
it will never happen.
The Browns got they got torched on that call. So
right, now, so this is my segment, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you're still in it, I thought we were heading on to that.
So
make it quick.
I'm gonna defense myself a little bit here on the multiple wolf cries, and I know Doug will hear this and kind of smile and giggle, but that's fine. I want to run you through a few exhibits of why I'm not crying wolf. Let's go back to week one when the Browns and Steelers are playing. Myles Garrett gets flagged for roughing the passer, which takes a fourth down and would have been a field goal attempt, moves it into almost first and goal, upon which the Steelers, who have a high-end offense, go and score a touchdown, tie the game going into overtime. Also, something to be said for the fact when you have the game won, they take it away. But NFL's response, oh, yeah, sorry, we missed that. Shouldn't have been a flag. Sorry it cost you guys a W. Move forward to the next week or 2 weeks later with the Raiders game when a Lynch run that probably would have gone for a big gain, the refs call Derek Carr within the grasp while the ball that he's looking for is bouncing around in front of the whole team, which Ogunjobi picks up and is walking into the end zone 35 yards later. NFL's response on Tuesday, hey, sorry we missed that. We got to be better. In the same Raiders game, after icing the game with a converted first down, the Raiders decide to call a timeout. It's within 2 minutes. The game is iced. We're kneeling the ball three times, and the officials go, oh, wait, we need to look at that. They don't remeasure. They actually just go, wasn't a first down. Sorry. We punt. Game-changing game. Another huge swinging play. The NFL's response is like, well, if you take these two angles and mix it here and see the line, then maybe we can say that it actually was a little short. Bull crap. Last Sunday or two Sundays ago against the Bolts, the Chargers, 300 missed calls go against the Browns, including two illegal blocks in the back, which open up touchdowns for Melvin Gordon, who is having a great game, no doubt, and is an amazing player. But in addition to that, a false start slash, like we mentioned last week, offensive tackle in motion that gives the Raider of the Chargers a free touchdown. NFL response, hey, we missed on that. It's inexcusable. We're sorry. And then this week, your quarterback is running, runs 35 yards. Safety takes a wide open shot head to head. He hits all three parameters of if they should call it. He hits intention to hit, leading with the helmet, making contact helmet to helmet. And like you said, he gets
dropping
up
the ground on the helmet too. Here's the sound clip for anybody who doesn't believe me.
Yeah. This is the referee, Sean Hockley. Well, maybe.
Oh. Hold on. I'll replay it. I could hear it, so.
Yeah, we couldn't. It's not coming through. He says he was a runner, therefore he's allowed to be hit in the head is the exact words that he uses. Now, we went down the field, Zeke, and got to the 1 yard line and did not score. We got locked down on 4th and 1. However, if you put another 15 yards in, that puts us down to the 20 yard line. That's a whole different set of plays. You're not going from the 4, you're going from the 20. Your red zone doesn't tighten up as much. I think that's a huge deal. And the Browns have gotten the crap end of every single stick. There's literally zero times the referees have come in, made a call. So I'm not crying wolf because the wolf is there. It's literally getting to a point where we're waiting to see if the Browns and how the Browns will get screwed.
Sean left me a voicemail. Sean, I don't know if you remember this, but you left me a voicemail right after that play happened.
This is not true.
It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair. We lost his team.
I look a lot like Terrell Owens.
So you were really upset.
But no, you know what I love? Baker Mayfield got up in his face and said, you got to hit me a hell of a lot harder. His words, a hell of a lot harder than that to take me out of the game. Love it. Go, yeah. Bake. Game-changing moment.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But we need to I agree with Sean. We got jobbed on a lot of calls this year, probably more than any other team in the NFL. But we need to move on. Zeke, I think you're gonna head out. So thanks for joining us tonight. Yep.
Y'all can make fun of me and I made fun of Sean week after week for that pitiful score a couple weeks ago, and it was just awful. So drag me through it, but I'll leave y'all.
I'm so mad you're not going to be here to hear it from me. That's weak sauce. So you better text me a great reason why you're leaving.
First game of the week, biscuit in your pants. Beach sprain labius, trust the process. 96.8 to 62.6. Biscuit in your pants is having trouble scoring points, but it doesn't matter when your competition puts up 62. Zeke gets 17.5 out of Kirk Cousins, and 13.6 out of Tyreek Hill. And then 11 out of his defense, and then nobody else puts up more than 5.1 points. Rough outing.
Unbelievable.
Fans get 21.7 on Tom Brady, 17.4 to Saquon Barkley, and then the rest of his team is kind of fairly pedestrian. But he still gets the win.
Have a terrible game. No, I mean 97 points is enough to win half the time.
It shouldn't be 3-4. Biscuit in your pants, and then sprained labius. Trust the process. Goes to 4-3. Next,
if you average 97 points, I bet you make the playoffs.
That is something that we'll have to look into. Because I think Matthew Berry, the ESPN worked it out. It's like 120, would get you more wins.
Well, I've got something to say to this. Cause I'm going to take the opportunity Zeke left. Yeah. Zeke, you gave me crap about scoring not much. I don't even know if it was that many points. It might have been close to that. And said, I'm never going to pick a team that scores that few points. And then I think Doug retorted something in that and said it was pitiful. Well, Doug, your time's coming. But Zeke, you had 62 points. You had one wide receiver that scored 0.4 and then 1.7, 1.6. Michelle got hurt. I'll give you that. But your defense outscored your flex tight end and two of your three wide receivers. So throw in Joe Mixon in there as well. Terrible matchups. You played a terrible team and you left John Brown on the bench with 21.4. So I guess I ain't picking you for a long time.
Yeah. Just so you know, week 4 going back, bless him, Sean's team scored 63.4 points. So actually, what have beat Zeke? sprained labius, trust the process, with 62.6. Going into the next one, another low-scoring affair, the green team. Sean, you called this one. 82.1 brings out their first win of the year against the newly renamed Khalil Mack and those guys for Bill Baker. Neither team puts up a lot of points. It's bad. Deshaun Watson, 10.9. Philip Lindsay, 15.6. And 10.4 out of Julio Jones for Khalil Mack and those guys is on route to 68.3. And then 82.1, the green team puts up with 17.6 out of Matthew Stafford, 14.3 out of Tariq Cohen, 13.7 out of A.J. Green. And then Larry Fitzgerald has his best game of the season with a sparkling 10.
Well, no, the green team is in a lot of trouble, though, because Bilal Powell's got put on IR. Le'Veon Bell's out. Lynch got put on IR. Like, those are two drops he needs to make to pick up some guys. Maybe they can pick up your boy from San Francisco here. But
Raheem Mostert, start of the week.
They didn't have a bad team, but this also solves this problem of starting two Jets running backs. I think what really gets me, and maybe you can speak to this because I know you're a big fan of him, I don't understand why people love Mark Ingram. I would get it, but not with Kamara in the backfield. Ingram just is not going to get the touches because that's an air offense. He's not going to get the time because Kamara's in there. And he's not even going to get many downs because Kamara's going to get every third down and he's going to get every first down.
Last year they showed that they can support two top 15 running backs. I do like Mark Ingram, but you can't run – you're not going to run in between the tackles against a team like Baltimore. And so that's where game script is going to come into play a little bit there because they were throwing the ball. Alvin Kamara got saved by a touchdown as well. Mark Ingram is going to get most of those touches inside the – you know, in between the tackles. And a lot of the goal line touches now. So he's, I think either both of them are going to get 15 to 18 touches a game. I think Alvin Kamara is more efficient with 15 to 18 touches a game, but I think you're still going to see great weeks out of Mark Ingram.
Maybe we need to get Doug in on this, but I would love to know the percentage of New Orleans throwing the ball when they're in that like tight red zone, like, you know, the 7 to 0 yards versus them actually running the ball. Cause I feel like that's where Breeze is the best.
Well, they were also last week. They were
running Thomas.
They were throwing as many inside of the red zone last week as they could because Drew Brees was on the cusp of hitting 500 passing touchdowns, which he did in the first quarter with a pass to Ben Watson.
Also
in the 500 club, so they'll go more back to what they're used to. But they didn't pass the ball a whole lot last year, and they're gonna script back towards the pass. I think Drew Brees continues to build.
Baltimore also said that they had given up, but they hadn't given up a single passing touchdown in the second half. And I think Breeze made that a personal deal, and he put two in there in the fourth quarter. So
there you go. I think that was your hot take. You know, you said three. I think you said they were going to score three.
I said two. Yeah, I said three, but hey, they got two. Actually, third quarter, they might have scored one. They had 6 points. I don't know if they missed a field goal. I didn't pay close enough attention.
Nope. I've got it right here. Hot take. Saints score three second half touchdowns.
That's so what I'm saying. I don't know if it was two or three.
They got two because they only – or did they get two? I don't know what that score was.
I'm going to look real
quick. Moving on now, we'll go to Ezekiel 25-17 taking on here for the beer. Ezekiel 25-17 had a pretty respectable week, putting up 127.7 with 20.3 out of Latavius Murray, 22.2 out of OBJ finally having some – getting a garbage time touchdown, 22.7 out of Andrew Luck, and then 15.8 out of probably who's the guy that's playing the best tight end right now, and Zach Ertz. But here for the beer, put up 16.5 with Jared Goff, 14.5 out of T.Y. Hilton, 13.1 out of Brandon Cooks. Alshon Jeffrey gets 14.8. Don't look now, but here for the beer is they're starting to put together a team.
They've actually had a good team most of the year, honestly.
So I mean Antonio Brown's gonna be coming off a bye. When Dalvin Cook gets back into form, that's another running back they can put in. He's got Nick Chubb, who put up 14 points against Tampa Bay. If they can get him rolling, you'd be careful. I think here for the beer could make a run and get in the playoffs. And they're 2-5 right now, but sitting in ninth place. But they're only three games back, and I think they might be able to make a run and get into eighth place, especially with Khalil Mack and those guys. Not putting up many points these days.
Yeah, here for the beer has got a really good team, and I think that that this week they're their lineup is actually great. I like what their matchups are. I like what they're looking at. I think although they had a tough win or tough loss last week, I like their team. I think they could get it going.
Yeah. So next we'll go to, I'm sorry, Miss Jackson, going to bless them. This was another game. Patrick Mahomes pretty much won this game. 35.8 points out of Patrick Mahomes with a couple of long touchdowns. 15.8 out of Kittle. 18 points out of the Colts defense. 16 out of Prater, the kicker. He's not getting a ton of points out of his running backs, but he's doing it with Patrick Mahomes and defense and kicker and George Kittle. But Mahomes is just on another level. And Sean puts up, gets beat 120.8 to 108.6. Baker Mayfield is able to have a respectable day. Kareem Hunt has a huge 3-touchdown, 32.1 point day against Cincinnati. I think we all saw that one coming. Mike Williams gets into the action with 15.8. Josh Gordon gets into the end zone with 12. You said you sat Josh Gordon. He actually did play. You got him in the lineup.
I had the donkey pick of the week, man.
Donkey pick of the week, not playing James White. I don't even care. Even if Sony Michel plays in any game, James White has been a top 15 running back every time he's played. Well, I'm leaving LeSean McCoy on my bench until he proves that he can do anything else.
So here's what happened.
You plug him in, you win that game.
I listen to one podcast. I typically don't listen to any podcast because I don't have that much time. I have other things I want to listen to. I listened to one fantasy podcast and they had two things. They're like, listen, make these two plays, put LeSean McCoy in, and put Eric Ebron in. And I thought, well, that's huge. I wanted to play James White and I've stuck with Njoku. And if I would have put either one of those guys in, it would have been
a 130. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just made a terrible pick. I should have won this game. I was mad at myself. I even made a good call. I dropped Cam Newton, which was not good for me, but played Baker Mayfield. He outperformed Drew Brees. I felt really good about that. But that James White, obviously, along with LeSean McCoy getting a concussion on the first down of the first game.
No, it doesn't help at all. But
just really hurt me.
Pretty much, if I can say one thing that I continue to hear is don't get cute, play your studs. James White is a stud, people. He is a guy that he's going to get top 15 running back points every single week because he is going to continue to get 7 to 10 targets and a couple of pitches out of the backfield. Anybody who is getting the ball in a Tom Brady offense on a regular amount should always be started. Eric Ebron is an expiring asset, especially with Jack Doyle on his way back. So I don't even blame you for not starting David Njoku, even though he's getting a ton of targets. But until LeSean McCoy proves something, he is riding the pine 100% all of the time. James White has to be in your lineup.
Well, you know, the only time I sat him is when he put up like 20-something points. And I was like, well, I'm not getting screwed again.
He did it again. So here you go. Last but not least, Matty Ice Clowns, battle for first place. Matty Ice Clowns goes to take on the Deplorables. Matty Ice Clowns came into this game at 5-1. Deplorables were at 4-2. Deplorables take this one 190.5 to 102.1. Riding high out of a big game out of Jameis Winston gets 23.1. Actually sat Philip Rivers, which ended up being a bad decision because of a couple long touchdowns.
Don't sit him.
Trey Burton finally gets off the schneid, has a big game of 20.6. Emmanuel Sanders, 27.3. Todd Gurley goes for 26, even in limited time, giving up a couple of carries when the game was out of reach, getting some rest in there. 19 out of the Texans defense, 13 out of Greg Zuerlein, Greg the Leg. It's not that Matty Ice Clowns had a bad game, but Christian McCaffrey was not himself with only 8 points. Marquise Goodwin, it came back to earth hard. Julian Edelman couldn't find the end zone. Sterling Shepard goes off, though. He picks up my scraps and gets 18.7 out of Sterling Shepard and 13 out of the Browns defense. But he takes the loss on this one, 190.5 to 102.1.
I didn't realize you scored 190 freaking points.
Yeah, that's the second time this year that the Deplorables have reached the 190-point mark.
You would have hit 200 if you'd have played Rivers. Like
if I played Philip Rivers, I hit 200 again. The like only reason that, the only reason that Philip Rivers went for that amount of points in our league was because of long touchdown potential. When you get 75 yard touchdowns, we get, just so everybody out there knows, we get additional bonuses for longer touchdowns. So when you get 75 yard touchdowns, it's not just a 7.5 plus the 6. You also get 4 points on a 60 yarder, I think 3 or 4 points on a 60 yarder, and then 2 points or 1 point on a 40 yarder. So those plays turn out to be big plays.
190 points, and you had 53 on the bench with 2 players yeah. on bye.
Left stuff on my bench too with 2 players on bye. So the deplorables are heating up.
You know, I had Trey Burton. I dropped him. That was smart to pick him up.
No, you didn't. I drafted Trey Burton. Not in this league, brother. I drafted him. I drafted Trey Burton, and I think he was my last pick. I think he was the 15th round. A couple rounds after Jimmy Graham. I thought Trey Burton's gonna be good. So now we'll figure it out. So moving on, week 8. This is where we get our previews in. I'll make sure to let you get a couple of picks in this week as well as we move quickly. We're going to start at the bottom. Sprained labius, trust the process, goes to Matty Ice Clowns. 4-3 versus 5-2. Who have you got in this one?
Matty Ice. Sorry, I was a little behind schedule here. You know, this is going to be a tight game. I think, obviously, what Zeke does with – Zeke Elliott out, if he's going to go ahead and put Carlos Hyde in, which I would assume he would. I don't know if that's going to get him a whole lot of points. This is just hard, man, because if Hyde plays, what does Yeldon do? There's a lot of unknown. I don't think Sterling Shepard's going to have another huge week. I'm going to go – man, this is easily the hardest one to pick. He's in trouble because he's got Sony Michel. He's got 2 spots he needs to put guys in for. Exactly. But Juju Smith-Schuster, as much as I hate it, always scores a touchdown on Cleveland, so I'd probably play that. I'm going to go with Zeke on this one. I think it's going to be our game of the week. It's going to be tight. I'd say see this as like a 115 to 118, and that's hard. That's a hard pick. It's hard for me to pick against Jeff in this, but I'm going to go Zeke.
Nope, I'm going house in this one, and the reason is because Sony Michel is doubtful. He's got Ezekiel Elliott on a bye. Carlos Hyde is going. He's first time in a new offense, and he's going against a very good Philadelphia run defense. So I'm going with Matty Ice Clowns on this one. I do think Juju Smith-Schuster has a good game. If I'm him, I'm taking out D.D. Westbrook and putting in John Brown. But I still think Matty Ice Clowns gets back to a winning record here. He goes 6-2.
This is going to be tough.
Moving up, tough game. Here for the beer, taking on Khalil Mack and those guys and their vortex of suck. What have you got here?
Why don't you go? You go ahead. You go first.
All right. So I'm going here for the beer in this one. And the reason is I think I almost had Lamar Miller as one of my starts of the week this week. I know he hasn't been good. Don't come at me. Don't send me a bunch of messages. I think Lamar Miller is – I think Houston's finally learning he is a guy that they have to get in the game, and he is a rhythm player. Adrian Peterson going against a New York Giants team that just got rid of their best run stopper. Jared Goff is going to throw the ball all the field. He's got a stack with Brandon Cooks. T.Y. Hilton going against a bad defense in Oakland. Alshon Jeffrey has a relatively okay game. Antonio Brown, somebody goes in his flex spot instead of Nick Chubb. Khalil Mack and those guys have been riding the everybody needs to suck so I can win train. Marvin Ingram going against a fairly good Minnesota run defense. Deshaun Watson, he's been good when he's needed to be, but he's playing with broken ribs and bruised lungs, and he's playing behind one of the worst offensive lines.
He plays on Thursday night.
A short week in Houston. He's got Julio Jones on a bye, so he's going to have to plug and play Cortland Sutton or someone in the like. Kenyon Drake, if he plugs him in, is just not going to have a good game because I think Houston's defense plays big. I think he's got spots all over his roster that need help. So I'm going here for the beer to go to 3-5. I told you how much I like their team already. I think Khalil Mack and those guys might be one of those teams left out in the cold when it comes to the playoffs.
Yeah, so I'm also going here for the beer, but I some of the same reasons you are. I think his team is just lined up. Chubb is absolutely worth keeping on as a starter. He's going to get way more yards and play a better game than Barber or Peterson, but I'd probably put him in for Barber, put Antonio Brown in the flex if you have to. He's just his bench is unbelievable. I don't like really anyone at all, except for maybe the Bears D, who I do love, on Khalil Mack's team, Khalil Mack and those guys' team. I don't like Watson is so hit or miss. Ingram, I've already said, I think is not that good. Lindsey's average, but he does have boom potential. Julio Jones is killing the yardage, but not touchdowns. Nuke Hopkins is awesome. I'll give him that. Callaway, as much as I want Callaway to be good, he has every bit of potential.
He just
is not making catches he needs to. I think Evan Ingram is not that good, but he's got Vance McDonald, who's going to have a pretty good game against Cleveland. Clement is sharing a backfield, and a kicker is a kicker. He's got the Giants kicker because he's a Giants fan. I don't think it's going to be close. I think this is going to be like 140, maybe that high to like 75. Billy, I love you. I just don't think you have a chance.
Billy's team is not very good. I am going to disagree with you. I don't think Chubb has a big week this week against Pittsburgh's number one rush defense. I'm putting Lamar Miller in for Peyton Barber. That's fine. And then I'm putting Antonio Brown in. Like I said, I think Lamar Miller is a good play this week. I think Adrian Peterson's a really good play this week against the New York Giants defense that is reeling.
Peterson is a good pick. That's what I'm saying. Barber needs to sit down.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. But he's number 24. He's got plenty of guys. So next up, the green team going on to, I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. I don't think this is really even a pick. I think that the green team kind of got a little lucky last week. Patrick Mahomes has Denver coming in. David Johnson's going has San Francisco coming in. He's got a lot of home games going on. Stephon Diggs is going to has New Orleans coming in. Devontae Adams is playing against a very beatable Los Angeles Rams defense through the year. George Kittle is, you know, probably a top five tight end right now. And he's a guy that came out today and said he loves fantasy. And he said he had to score a touchdown for his fantasy coaches because he said he loves them. So I'm all on the George Kittle.
How is that not in your love things I love this week? That's great.
I just remember seeing it on Twitter today.
That's hilarious.
I think he's got a little bit of – I would move Alex Collins out of my flex and put in a guy like Taylor Gabriel or Traquan Smith. He's loaded on the bench. And then everything the green team is not. He's got Isaiah Crowell. Looks like he fixed a couple spots. He's got Doug Martin, which I know he is going to be the feature back in Oakland going against an indie defense. But the problem is there's no reason to think that anybody can throw the ball in because Derek Carr there's nobody to throw the ball to other than Jared Cook.
Martavis Bryant, but even then he can't catch a ball.
I'm not seeing a whole lot of great things coming out of this game. I'm going, I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. And they're going to win big to go to 6-2.
Loveless, I want you to know something, buddy. When no one else believed in you, I did. When no one else, you did not mute your mic so loud. when no one else believed in you, I did. When it came down to everyone saying I was wrong, I was right. Buddy, this is a week I want you to know. This is what I think of you. You are going to get crushed this week. You have nobody on your team. Everybody's hurt. You need to go pick everybody up. And Raheem Mostert is not available because I took him.
I knew you would.
Yeah, I actually looked at my lineup and I was like, I do kind of need him. But it's just not going to be close. And I'm sorry, Miss Jackson, why do you have 11,000 wide receivers? Give somebody up.
No.
Make a trade, man. You're too rich. You're just like I was with quarterbacks. Make a trade.
But quarterbacks aren't valuable like wide receivers are. That's the difference.
Listen, that's what I'm saying. He has a plethora of riches. His running backs are terrible to okay at best. Take one of these guys like Cooper Kupp or Will Fuller. There's enough Clemson fans in our league. Take Will Fuller, trade him to somebody like Bill who's going to give you more than he's valued for.
Will Fuller didn't go to Clemson.
I thought he did. Oh, no, I'm sorry. You're right. Well, take Will Fuller, who's a Texan, and put him with all the Clemson boys and let that ride all day long. Get yourself a good running back because Jordan Howard is going to lose carries to Tariq Cohen as the year goes on. So you have a great team. Make it better. But I'm taking Doug all day.
Yeah, Doug's going to win this one. So here is what I think is going to be one of the – this is an important game for both teams involved. And that game is Blessem going to Biscuit in Your Pants. Both these guys have are 3-4, tied for sixth. They're two games back of the lead. This is an important game to solidify moving forward with into the playoffs. This is, I think, looking at this game, I think that Blessem has a better team top to bottom. I like all the matchups better, minus the Travis Kelce. And then I'll take James Conner in the flex instead of Raheem Mostert. I like Raheem Mostert this week a lot. I've already been there and I've already said that. But, I mean, an injured Royce Freeman playing running back, and then the only guys that he can put him back with, that he can replace him with, is Aaron Jones or Duke Johnson. I also like Tom Brady more than Baker Mayfield this week. That's fairly obvious.
It's Drew Brees. I just fixed that. I noticed that.
I think Tom Brady's going to be the number one scoring quarterback this week going against a bad Buffalo team. He might not have this number one guy because they do have one guy that can shut down a leading wide receiver, but I don't know who he's going to cover. He'll probably work on Josh Gordon. But I'm going to go with Blessem to win this game, and I think it's because Kareem Hunt has a huge day in Denver. James White goes off against Buffalo. Michael Thomas continues to be one of the best wide receivers in football. I like Kenny Galladay. I like David Njoku. I like Raheem Mostert. I like a lot of people on both these teams, but I'm going with Blessem, and I'm sure you are as well.
I am. I think I win every matchup, honestly. Maybe except for the tight end and the flex.
You definitely don't win a tight end, and you definitely don't win a quarterback.
I don't know, man. I know, but it's Monday night. He tends to show off to everybody else, and Buffalo's terrible on the run. They're not going to need a lot of big points to beat Buffalo. Buffalo's going to score 10 points, maybe. Patriots score 21 in the first quarter, and they'll run the heck out of the ball. James White, I mean, they're going to just take way too much time off the clock. That game is going to be over in under 3 hours. It's going to be a 2.5-hour game.
Belichick doesn't like close games. He's going to win this. He continues to throw the ball.
It's not going
to
be close. It's going to be 35 or 38. Maybe 7.
Depending on weather. If weather's bad in Buffalo, because I didn't realize they were at Buffalo. If weather's bad in Buffalo, then I'll go. Then maybe I'll concede because they're going to play in a dome in Minnesota.
Again, Breeze is in a dome. Kareem Hunt in a dome. James White is going to go ham outside or inside. Thomas is in a dome. Galladay's in Seattle. I'd like all of my lineup better. And I think what's big for him is Vinatieri is hurt. And he's in kickers, as we've seen, when they're hurt, don't kick well. And so what you're going to find out with that is not only is Indianapolis probably not going to score a ton of points. I think they'll probably be in 28 to 30 range. Kickers that are hurt don't kick well. But Vinatieri is a name that's not going to get cut after one bad week. So I'll take my team. 135 to 110.
Nice. So last but not least, you've got the league-leading deplorables at 5-2 taking on Ezekiel 25-17. This is another pivotal game for Ezekiel 25-17 as they have a chance to stay above 500 or fall to 500. Go ahead with your thoughts on this.
Yeah, it's kind of the opposite of what I said with Zeke's team of not picking until they give me a reason to pick. The deplorables has never given me – I've not seen a reason for them. You've lost two. I'm not sure who you lost to. I know you should have lost to me, but you got bailed out on Monday night, luckily. Every player minus the quarterback, I know he's projected to score 22.5. I'm just not a big believer in Jameis Winston. He throws way too many interceptions. And Cincinnati's a good team. But Gurley against Green Bay, give me a break. Kamara in a dome against Minnesota, give me a break. Evans against Cincinnati, they give up a lot of long touchdowns. Thielen scores no matter who's there, and New Orleans defense is not that good. Emmanuel Sanders is the only person Case Keenum can throw to. Burton against the Jets, Landry against Pittsburgh on the underneath routes with no linebackers, the Texans against Miami's horrific offense. The Rams score so many points, and it's going to be kicking like crazy against Green Bay. I you're going to win by 60. This is you're projected 131. This is a 170 point game. It's so ridiculous. I hate your team because I love you and hate you at the same time. But Andrew Luck against Oakland will score points. Murray is not going to score any. Marlon Mack is hurt. Beckham scored his one touchdown of the year. Funchess is not reliable. Boyd, I think, will be his high score. Ertz against Jacksonville is not a good matchup. Golden Tate's hurt. The Cardinals' defense is going to be okay because San Francisco is that bad. This just shouldn't be close. You're going to coast into 6-2.
I hope so. I look at the matchups and I tend to agree on a lot of things. I will say Golden Tate's probably not really injured. You are the one that said Matthew Stafford was the pick of the week. He's going to throw 400. He's got to throw somebody. The guy's name is Golden Tate. Andrew Luck's going against a very bad Oakland defense. Marlon Mack is going against a very bad Oakland defense. Again, they put these questionables out there, and they know that they're going to get a shot at something and be right back.
He was limited. Tate was limited in practice with an ankle sprain.
Yeah, no, so that's fine. But he's playing. OBJ going against Washington, he's the only guy that they can throw to. Jameis Winston is one of the guys. He is a fantasy fantastic start at quarterback. That's it. I don't like him as a full-time quarterback for any team, but for a start for a fantasy quarterback, he's top 10 every single time. Todd Gurley, what else do you have to say? Alvin Kamara, Mike Evans. I like my matchups all the way down. I'm going to stick with Old Faithful. I'm picking Ezekiel 25-17 to in the upset because why not?
Because you're scared, little man.
It's worked for me every single time. For those scared, of you who don't know, man, I never pick my team because I'm not superstitious. I'm just a little stitious. And
nice.
Yeah.
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
But every time I've picked my team. So week two, when I picked my team against them, sorry, Miss Jackson, I lost 142.5 to 120. And then the next time I picked my team was, I think it was week five when I lost. I'm trying to look. Oh, that's when I beat sprained labius something. I forgot who else I lost to. Oh, Here for the Beer. That was the other one. The 2-5 Here for the Beer. I picked myself to win because that was the game that Jared Goff went for 49.5 and Brandon Cooks went off, and I lost 163 to 153.
Yeah, he went hard.
So with that being said, and that anything can happen, that's why we love fantasy, I'm going with Ezekiel 25-17 on the upset. So here with that being said, that is all of the games we have for this week. That's our league. Hope you guys enjoyed the listen. Follow us on Twitter at TLOOG1. Again, that's at TLOOG1. Find us, add us, say something, interact with the show. We'll answer questions if you have them. Do everything we can, but interact with us. Share us, rate us 5 stars, and give us a review wherever you find us. Because that's how, if anybody wants to listen to this thing going forward and get any kind of NFL information, really opinions by our quote-unquote experts. I put some air quotes up there just in case you guys didn't know. Quote-unquote experts. If you want to hear our opinions and our fun and our breakdowns, let us know what you want to hear. We'll continue to talk about it. But thanks for joining us.
Hey, hold on. I got something to add into that.
Go ahead.
I had a little back and forth, my second back and forth with a Browns legend and should be in the Hall of Fame return wide receiver, Eric Metcalf. And Eric, if you get a chance to listen to this, because I'm going to send it to you, we would love to have you on the show. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about. We'd love to talk about Browns football with you. But if you want to give a couple lifelong Browns fans the thrill of their life, and also see how you sound on the radio and on the podcast. We would love to have you. So I'm going to shoot you the link. I'd love to hear if you hear this. And also, like we talked about, man, would love to meet you at the KC game as well. I'm just a couple of Browns friends who've been fans our whole life, and would love to have just a couple minutes with you to hear what you think about the NFL, about the Browns, and especially about all those terrible, terrible officiating calls. So,
Eric, love it.
Love you.
Eric, give us a join. Give us a follow. Let's go. Thanks again for listening, guys. Follow us at TLOOG1 on Twitter. And you can also catch Sean at Sean Gaida. At Sean, it's something like
S-E-A-N-G-A-J-D-A.
Yeah. If you look at the, if you look in our link, you'll see everybody's Twitter handle, and you can catch us, follow us. Follow Sean and Doug on those Sundays for the fantastic banter. Anything else?
That's all I got, man. Love you, buddy. I'll see you this weekend.
See you later. Good night.